I'm sure a number of you here play a musical instrument. Pretty common among Asian communities for people to play, you know, one or two instruments growing up. And for myself, I've played guitar and I've played bass for many years. I started in high school, and over those years, I've developed calluses on my fingertips, particularly my left hand for guitar, my right hand for bass. And calluses are very useful in allowing you to play certain instruments without pain. For anyone of you, if you've tried to learn guitar before, you know what I'm talking about. When you first pick up that instrument, you first start to play guitar, your fingertips become very tender and very sore from pressing down on the strings so much. It's just not used to that sensation, and it actually hurts. But over time, the skin on your fingertips, the skin hardens to cushion the pressure so that you don't feel it as much. That's what calluses do. They make you numb to pain in order to protect you from it. In this particular scenario, calluses are a good thing. But in many other cases, calluses are a bad thing, especially when they cover something like your heart instead of your fingertips. And as we go through life, we all experience things that are very painful. You might lose a job. You might go through a nasty breakup, a missed opportunity, some kind of failure, some kind of betrayal, and so on. And each time we endure a painful experience, guess what happens? Our hearts, because you feel that pain, our hearts become a little bit hardened with each painful experience. And after many painful experiences, a thick callus develops over our hearts. And this callus makes our hearts numb to feeling pain. This is a natural defense mechanism. This is how we, as human beings, deal with pain in our lives. Our hearts become calloused. Now, being protected from pain is a good thing, right? No one likes to feel pain. But why did I say earlier that having a calloused heart is a bad thing? It's because calluses are not selective in what they filter out. You see, when you have a callus on your fingertips, they don't only filter out the pain from guitar strings, they filter out the pain or the sensation of everything your fingers touch. You know, it could be clothes, it could be, you know, paper, it could be whatever. And it's the same thing with the callus over our hearts. It's not selective in what it lets in and what it lets out. It numbs you to everything. So not only are you numb from pain, but you're also numb to things like love and joy and gratitude and wonder. And that's the problem. A calloused heart doesn't feel anything. So because calluses develop over time, typically the older you get, the more calloused your heart becomes. And so, you know, the world is such a terrible place that even by the age of 20, even for people in their 20s, which is not even that old, their hearts are already hardened, calloused, unfeeling, numb. And for people who don't deal with this issue, it only gets worse. People in their 30s and 40s and 50s, you know, there are people out there, older people out there, who are just so dead in their hearts that they feel absolutely nothing at all. And that's a travesty. That is a very sad way to live life. But that's what happens when you go through life, when you live in this world, because there's just so much pain and heartache out there. So what can we do about this? Obviously, God doesn't want us to live in this way. We are not meant to live with rock-hard, unfeeling hearts. But that's what happens when you live in this world. What can we do about this? How can we be healed? How can we be freed? So that we can deal with pain in a healthy way, but at the same time, we can still experience the fullness of love and joy and gratitude and wonder. What can we do? Are we just doomed to become cynical, skeptical, jaded people? Well, let's turn to the Word of God to find out. So turn with me today to our passage, which is Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. And today is Children's Day. It's a holiday in Korea, but we also observe it here in this church. And in honor of Children's Day, we're talking, you know, about children and how to be more like children. So Mark 10, 13 to 16, I'm just going to read the whole passage for us. And they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Amen. The key phrase in this passage is found in verse 15. So take a look at verse 15 once again with me. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. That's the key phrase. Like a child. If you're in the habit of highlighting or underlining your Bible, that would be a good phrase. Like a child. We use the phrase childlike faith a lot in church. I'm sure you've all heard that phrase many, many times. Childlike faith. We say it, we pray it, we sing about it. But the truth is, most English translations do not contain those words, childlike faith. In most English translations, what it actually says is like a child. And that has a slightly different nuance. What does it mean to be like a child? Well, there are certain negative qualities that children have, and there are certain positive qualities that children have. Jesus is not referring to the negative qualities. He's not saying that we should be ignorant. He's not saying that we should be immature. He's not saying that we should be self-centered, because those are all true for children. That's just how children are. He's referring to the positive qualities of being like a child. And what are those? It's openness. It's honesty. It's innocence. It's just natural, innate trust. That's what he's talking about. When we receive the kingdom of God, when we receive salvation or Jesus into our lives, we have to receive it like children, with an open heart, with honesty, without any guile, no deception, no cynicism, just pure joy and gratitude. Do we have that kind of a transparent, open heart? See, I think as we go through life, we naturally lose that aspect. We lose that. And those are precious qualities. Those are good qualities. And that is why Jesus is reminding us today that we need to recapture those qualities. All of us. You know, and I'm speaking for myself. You know, I'm older than all of you here. And so the older you get, the more you struggle with this. But I know that God is telling me I need to recapture these qualities, openness, and just, you know, just pure, innocent joy, gratitude. That's how we're supposed to receive the kingdom. You know, I try not to talk about my son too much, because I find that some pastors, some preachers, they just kind of default to talking about their children like all the time. And, you know, every analogy is about their kids. So I don't want to be that kind of preacher. But, you know, in this case, I mean, we're talking about receiving the kingdom like a child, so I think it's appropriate. So Most of you know I have a son. He's almost two. His name is Sheppy or Shepherd. And, you know, he's at a point right now where he's just so expressive. He's too expressive, okay? I mean, really, because he's in that terrible two stage, and when he's not happy, which is the majority of the time, he really lets us know. But in those times, you know, the 20% of the day when he is happy, you know, it's just so clear, and it's so refreshing. And let me just give you a couple of really simple, you know, cute examples. So recently he learned what a sheep is, and he can't say sheep, but we taught him that sheep go ba ba. And so when he sees a sheep, whether it's a toy or a picture, he'll always point at it and he'll say ba ba. So that's one of his first words, right? And he has a toy sheep that he got as a gift a long time ago, and you know, these days he doesn't like traveling in the car without a toy. He needs a toy. He needs a traveling companion. So we have this sheep toy in the car. And, you know, he knows that it's in there. And when I'm bringing him to the car and about to strap him into the car seat, he is anticipating holding that toy. And so even as we're going to the car, he's like going like this and he's saying, Papa, Papa. And he just wants to be with that toy. All right, and then I'm strapping him in, and you know, you have to do a proper job. So I'm really trying to strap him in to the car seat properly and make sure everything is, you know, safe. And he's still struggling. And then finally, I'll get the sheep and I'll give it to him. And at that moment, you know, that's what I'm talking about. It's that moment of just pure, transparent joy. He grabs the toy and he lifts it like this and he goes, bah, bah. You know, it's like that 5 minutes of anticipation, right? He just couldn't wait. He needed that so badly. And then when he was finally reunited with his toy that he loves so much, you know, that is just a big smile on his face and he just says, bah, bah, and it just hugs and he's so happy. You know, there's no pretension. He doesn't care how silly he looks. He doesn't care about anything else in the world, right? And it just shows that gratitude, that joy. And it's the same thing when, you know, he comes home from daycare and he has a routine, right? At this point, when you're 2 years old, you have a routine. He knows exactly what should be happening. And so as soon as I bring him into the house, he runs straight to his high chair, which is conveniently situated in front of the TV because that's how he likes it. And he wants to be put in the high chair and he wants to be given his pouch of fruit and vegetable mush right away, okay? Right away. And so if I don't give it to him within 30 seconds, he starts banging on the high chair and he starts throwing a fit, right? But the same thing. When I give him that pouch and I turn on the TV, just the pure joy on his face. And he has a little dance now. He'll go like this. Like that, right? So he'll like hold the pouch and, you know, and that's how kids are. You know, no pretension. And so, you know, the thing about us grown-ups is that we care too much about what other people think. You know, I think that's why we're guarded. You know, that's why we're always thinking about, you know, our image and how other people think of us. But that is not how children are. And so that's part of what we need to overcome, right? So what if someone thinks that we're looking silly? So what if someone thinks that, oh, you know, that person's a Jesus freak, or, you know, that person's a Christian, right? We just need to be genuine about our love. We need to be genuine about our joy in Christ. I want to show you just one more example. This is actually not about my son, but it's a little Scottish boy. And it's a video clip of this little Scottish boy receiving presents for his third birthday. And I just want you to see, just exactly, again, the pure, genuine joy in his heart.
I can't believe it.
You can't believe it?
Yeah. No way.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, little guy.
Wow. No, I can't believe it.
You can't believe it?
Yeah. No way.
Are you tired?
I'm
sorry. Oh, it's okay. Are you happy?
Yeah, wasn't that cute? You know, like, how can you not be touched by that, right? I mean, that is what brings joy to a parent's heart. So not only was that little boy touched, but the mom was touched as well. And this is what God wants to see in all of us. You know, God has given us the greatest gift of all. He gave us the gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus. And what He wants is, He wants to see us receive that gift with that kind of just genuine, honest joy and gratitude. That's what brings joy to the Father's heart. But we are so plagued with things like cynicism and skepticism and doubt. We're plagued by a lack of gratitude and a lack of joy and a lack of faith. And so instead of receiving the gift of salvation like a child, we receive it like a skeptic, like a cynic. We're like, what's this? What's this? All right, is that genuine? Is that real? Is this actually good? Can I trust in this? Is this actually going to make a difference in my life? What is this? And can you imagine if you were the one who gave that gift, how that might make you feel? You know? That's what God feels when we receive with closed hearts. So I want to ask a question right now. What causes people to doubt? What causes people to have such a hard time accepting God's promise, accepting the gospel? Well, I think the answer is simple. You know? I mean, yeah, I can give like theological answers. I can give all these doctrinal answers. That's not what I'm talking about. I think the answer is simple. It's the pain and the betrayal that we go through in life. It's all the times that other people have let us down. Your parents have let you down. I'm sure they have. Your friends have let you down. For those of you who are married, your spouses have let you down. People let you down. That's what people do. And we've all seen it a million times. And because we've seen it so often, we can't help but transfer that reality to God. We're saying to ourselves, you know, everyone else has let me down at least a dozen times. I'm sure God will let me down as well. That is the source of our skepticism. We transfer this very human frailty, this human flaw, we transfer that and project it onto God. But the problem is, God is not like anyone else. He's not. The very definition of God being holy means He is not like anyone else. That's what holy means. He is completely different, completely other, completely set apart in a category all by Himself. God is His own category. And there is no one and nothing else that is part of that category but God. There are some similarities between us and God. Some. Okay? We both have minds. We both have emotions. We both have desires. We both have a will. And we are made in the image of God, yeah? But aside from these similarities, God is completely different from us. He alone is good. He alone is powerful. He alone is perfect in every virtue. He alone is faithful and trustworthy. And He alone is worthy of all of our praise. It's so important for us to understand this truth. God is not like any person that you've ever known. And when it comes to things like faithfulness and trustworthiness, God is in a class all by Himself. You know, God has never broken a promise in the entire history of humanity. Think about that. God has never broken a promise in the history of humanity, in the history of the world. He's never broken a promise. in thousands and thousands and millions of years, he's never broken a promise. He's never gone back on his word. Think about that. Think about what kind of being he is. You know, this is what blows my mind. We think of the sun rising to be one of the most constant things in the universe. But even that will come to an end one day. This is a scientific fact. Scientists know that a few billions of years from now, one day, the sun will not rise over the horizon. Either the earth will collapse in its rotation around the sun, and it will collapse into the sun, or the sun will expand, become a red dwarf, and envelop the entire solar system. So even the sun rising in the dawn, we think of that as the most constant thing in the universe, even that will come to an end one day. But guess what? God's word will always remain. He will always be true. And he will always keep his promise, even after this world fades away. Think about that. The point of my message today isn't that we shouldn't be critical about our beliefs. I'm an academic. I have three master's degrees. I've studied theology. I've studied philosophy. I've studied these issues. I've studied culture and anthropology. You know, I believe in being critical. I believe in being very careful about our beliefs. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's a big difference between being critical and being cynical. Critical and cynical, not the same thing. You see, when you're being critical, you are simply making sure that there are no errors so that you can come to a stronger belief in your convictions. Being critical is actually constructive. It leads to a stronger faith once you've gone through that process. But being cynical is not like that. Being cynical is seeing the worst in people. It's seeing the worst in ideas. It's focusing on the negatives and trying to dismiss and dismantle everything. And so being cynical is destructive, not constructive. Cynical, critical, two different things. And you know what? Children can actually be critical while not being cynical. Did you know that? How can children be critical? Sometimes when you give a new toy to a child, right? Like that three-year-old boy that we saw in the video, right? You give him a new toy, and at first he receives it with joy, right? He cries, he laughs, and he's just like, oh, mama, oh, papa, how, you know, thank you so much. And he's so overjoyed with this thing. But then what does he do? He takes that toy and he plays with it, and he looks at it from every angle. He examines it. He wants to see how it works. He wants to see if there's any broken pieces, anything missing, any imperfections, you know, because he loves this thing. That is being critical, not being cynical, right? When you're critical about something and you want to know it, you want to know it well, you want to know every detail about it. And children have that capacity. They are able to be critical while at the same time they are genuine in their love and their joy and gratitude. So my point in the message today, God's point is not for you to stop being critical, but open your heart. Open your heart and be aware of any calluses that you might be suffering from. So brothers and sisters, if you're hearing this message today, and you're realizing that you suffer to some degree from a lack of feeling, you're realizing that you have a lack of joy, a lack of experience of God's love, a lack of gratitude, or a lack of wonder, then that is an indication that maybe there is a callous over your heart, and something needs to be done about that. Now, I haven't gotten to that solution yet. At the beginning of the message today, I said, what can we do about this problem? Because we all suffer from this problem to some degree. What can we do about the problem of a hardened, unfeeling heart? Well, for that, we have to look at the passage one more time. Go back to the passage. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, what do we see the parents doing? It says the parents are bringing their children to Jesus. All right? That's clue number one. The parents are bringing their children to Jesus. Then in verse 14, what does Jesus say? He says, let the children come to me. That's clue number two. Let the children come to me. And now skip down to verse 16. What does Jesus do in verse 16? It says, Jesus takes the children in his arms and he touches them and he blesses them. Do you see what all of this is pointing to? Do you see what these clues are pointing to? What is the solution to an unfeeling, calloused heart? The solution is go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. That's why the parents were bringing their children to Jesus. That's why Jesus was saying, let them come to me. That's why he touched them, and that's why he blessed them, because he is the solution. Only Jesus can remove that thick, hard shell around your heart. Only Jesus can make your heart sensitive and alive once again. Only he can do that. So go to Jesus. That's all any of us can do. And that's what God wants us to do. And I want to give you this encouragement. Going to Jesus is perhaps the most childlike thing that we can do. You want to be like a child? How do we do that? Go to Jesus. That is the most childlike thing that we can do. You know, I love it when my son comes to me with open arms. You know? I love it when he shows his need for me. It fulfills something in me, that parental, that fatherly instinct, to know that he needs me like that. And when we go to Jesus, God feels the same way. It fulfills the Father's heart. It's the most childlike thing that we can do. So, brothers and sisters, let's drop our shame. Let's drop our pretension. Let's drop our ego and our pride. You know, God sees through it anyway. And let's not care about what other people think. You know, if you need to cry out to the Lord, if you need to spend some time on your knees, if you need to shed some tears, if you need to jump for joy, whatever you need to do, do it. Do it before the Lord. Do it for God. And don't care so much about what other people think, because they're in the same boat as you. We are all in the same situation together. So this is God's message for us today. On this Children's Sunday, God is telling us, be like a child. Receive the kingdom. Receive Jesus. Receive the gift of salvation like a child, with pure joy, gratitude, and wonder. And if we need to be healed of a calloused heart, then we need to go to Jesus for that as well. So let's do that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's spend some time reflecting and responding to God's message for us. So at this time, let's examine our hearts. Ask yourself, do I feel everything that I should be feeling? Do I feel joy? Do I feel God's love? Do I feel gratitude? Do I feel wonder? Or am I lacking in those feelings? Examine yourself. If you are lacking in any of these feelings, that is an indication that your heart has been hardened. It's a sign that you have been bruised. You've been hurt by life, by the world. and you are in need of healing, you need to go to Jesus. You need to ask Jesus to take that shell away from yourself. God is calling all of us to be like children once again. So let's humble ourselves. Let go of our pride. Just say, God, Father, Abba, I need you. I want you. More of you in my life. Yes, Lord. Let's just take some time to pray and meditate. Go to Jesus right now.